Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Okay. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know I need to ask you, where you been all week? All week were you with us? Oh, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. Oh, did we have some kind of time here this week? We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew and dating post-COVID. Oh, my. What a funny conversation. Listen, this week, I didn't even have a list because the Due Time crew was in its rare form, and they gave me the list all on their own. Yes. Oh, we talked about what's the stuff you do now in dating that, you know, you have to do because it's post-COVID. Or let's switch that around. What are the things that you will not do now that you used to do pre-COVID? Listen, no matter how you slice this pie, the Due Time crew had their answers going. And we talked about the kissing game. Do you play the kissing game now, post-COVID? Well, man, I think it was Pastor Charlene that said, I'll kiss you on the forehead and keep it moving. Ah, where do you go? Some of the places that you go now, post-COVID. And what are some of the conversations you have post-COVID? Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of detail, okay? Because then you won't go back and listen, okay? Well, we topped off our Monday morning with our switch tip, get back on track. And again, it somehow or another ends up paralleling with our conversation with the Due Time crew. Yeah, because, you know, she was primarily talking about, Shantice that is, was primarily talking about, you know, getting back on track with God. You know, sometimes things come along and it just knocks us off our feet, knocks us off kilter. We over all in the pond and we should be on the land and, you know, we flying and we should be crawling. Yeah, you know how it goes. And we just get twisted up. And, you know, we have to make sure we get our focus back and get back on track with God. Because as we will see, once you're off kilter, once you're off track, everything else is just off. Everything. And one of the things is that dating thing. Yeah, you be all twisted and doing the wrong thing because you've disconnected from God. And it's not always intentional that you disconnect from God. No, but it happens nonetheless, right? So, you know, when we disconnect from God, we get a little lost. And, we are a little lost. And it's just hard to find your way back. But the best part about it is God does not move. It's us. So while we're trying to find our way around, get back on track is the focus and the name of the game, okay? Oh, we mosey on down to Tuesday where it was, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And oh my goodness, sometimes our news stories just end up taking a life of its own. And that's what happened. We had a news story about two young ladies who went to Mexico and shouldn't have been there because they got off track. And everybody wasn't the same after that. You know, unfortunately, somebody lost their life. The other one almost lost their life. And, you know, it really gave us something to talk about because we talked about keeping secrets. We talked about how the Spirit of the Lord directs you. Yes, it's that voice. It's that nudge. It's that feeling you get that doesn't come from you. No. But, you know, we talked about if the Spirit of the Lord was intact or if these women were Christian, which we don't know they are, but we do know that if they were, they did not follow the Spirit of the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord always does its job. Yes, it never sleeps. It never slumbers. And, you know, while they were keeping secrets and sneaking around, it would have, you know, nudged them to make another decision. It would not have been, you know, in Mexico on a $6,700 tummy tuck and liposuction trip. So, you know, we talked about the different ways the Spirit of the Lord actually directs you. And we talked about the fact that the Bible, the Word of God, is one of the ways that the Spirit of the Lord directs you. You know, you go to service and you hear that sermon or a Bible study or, you know, just even in your personal time. And you're meditating on the Word of the Lord day and night. And when you get ready to make that decision, the Spirit of the Lord brings back to your remembrance, yes, the Word of God. See? Did you forget that one? It's okay. So, that's how we spent our Tuesday. Well, Wednesday rolled around, and we were at Wow Wednesday once again. The highlight and the peak of the week. And it started off with our girlfriend Vivian, who talked about them COVID numbers. Mm-hmm. And they did come down, thank God. And we're celebrating. But we can't celebrate too much that we get lax. But we also talked about the fact that the president then told people that once you've been vaccinated, you could take off your mask. Now, you give this a little thought. And, you know, it might be a ploy to get people to get vaccinated. Because if you hate the mask that much and somebody then told you as long as you're in, quote, unquote, small groups, you don't have to wear your mask because you've been vaccinated, well, you just might go a-running. Okay? But let me remind you, and Vivian reminded you, don't fall for the okey-doke because there have been accounts of people who have been vaccinated who still got the virus. So, hey, it's just like any other vaccination. You know, sometimes you go get the chickenpox vaccination and still you come out with the chickenpox. All people go get the flu vaccine every year, and yet they still get the flu. Well, guess what? This is no different. So, again, be weary of these quick fixes that people are coming up with. Yes, even our president. Okay? Got to make sure you pay attention. Well, she also talked about the Oklahoma woman who was charged with a felony because she didn't return a VHS tape of Sabrina the Teenage Witch back in the day. And yeah, they stretching, y'all. They stretching. They just doing it too. Maybe they thought they were catching us on this side of the bridge. Oh, did you think about that? Didn't I tell you before for the okie doke? Yeah, they may have seen that, you know, it was a her. They thought it was a her from this side of the bridge. But yet, they found out. Listen, they should have known it wasn't us because it was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Maybe had it been dead presidents or Belly or Juice or Boys in the Hood, yeah, just might have been one of us, but nah, you didn't catch us out there. All right? Plus, listen, by the time VHS DVDs were out, everybody was out bootlegging the DVDs, so was nobody paying attention to them VH tapes no more. But yes, you know, it's the Vivian stories are getting crazier and crazier. Okay, now we had our women of worship come through, and we talked about keeping secrets Bible style. Yes, we went through the Word of God and we surveyed so many scriptures that talked about your mouth. It talked about your intent. It talked about whether you keeping secrets or not and what keeping secrets can do. Will it benefit you or will it help you sink down into lower waters? Well, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to go back and definitely listen to what the ladies had to say. You know, for scriptures such as Micah 7:5, put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend, guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. Yes, it has something to do with keeping secrets. Yeah, the Bible talks about everything. You didn't know that? Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, did that one come up on your radar? Well, if it did or if it didn't, you need to go back and listen and figure out how that applied to that keeping secrets thing and what the ladies had to say, because they were on point as always on Wednesday, and man, it was a beautiful segment. Well, we ended our Wednesday as always on a high note with our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlene Bitt, and man, it was explosive as always. Okay, well, yesterday was quite interesting. Yeah, because the Due Time Crew was back in effect. And we went through the news again. And oh my goodness, woo! We had a ball yesterday. And we ended up talking about the names that we have heard, some of the craziest names and craziest stories about how these names possibly came about. Oh, we had a personal testimony by our brother Al and how his name came about. And yeah, Brother Al sounds pretty simple, right? Well, you want to go back and listen to Brother Al's his story. Now, am I saying it right? Yeah. The history of Brother Al's knee. That's what I want to say. Yes, he had a story to go along with all the other crazy stories. So, hey, you want to make sure that you go back and listen, okay? Well, that's how we spent our week. So if you missed any day, then you want to go back and listen to his due time with Pastor Steph on any one of those days, because we were hollering all week. It was funny. It's been a funny week, an enlightening week, but a funny week nonetheless. And today is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever we want to do over here. And in general, we just give the men the day. And they have been coming through big time. Big time, big time, big time. They've been coming through, sending us off to a fantastic weekend. And something to just kind of leave us marinating and wanting to hear what happened on Monday. Yeah. Yeah, what's going to happen on Monday? It's how we spend our weekend, because we just don't know what's going to happen. So today we have a very interesting conversation and some, you know, we're going to do it up today just to make sure you go out with a bang. Okay? Okay. So, let me make sure I get you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. And make sure you get this text number, because some of these things we're going to talk about today just might make you want to call in. 347-285-7777. Okay? So we want to make sure that we're ready and we get that healthy breakfast in us. We want to make sure that we go and we tell a friend, text a friend, call a friend. Listen, send some smoke signals. I don't care how you get the message out that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and it's Freestyle Friday, and we are going out with a bang, hopefully, today. Okie dokie. So, it's settled. It's settled. We'll be right back.
When you look at me, you might see my tremor,
my lack of facial expression,
a person with Parkinson's disease.
But you may not see
that I have trouble sleeping,
that no two treatment plans are the same.
I was diagnosed at 65.
37, earlier than most.
But if you look closer,
you'll see
a warrior mom,
an endurance athlete,
someone who is still dancing,
someone with a lot of fight.
Every 9 minutes, someone is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
And every one of them can turn to the American Parkinson Disease Association for education,
for community,
for support.
Look closer,
and you'll see
my resolve,
my determination, my spirit
is unshakable.
Visit APDAParkinson.org to learn more and show your support today.
good morning to you, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, we have reached the end of the week. God has been so gracious to us by allowing us another opportunity to get it together by waking us up today. Yeah. So, you know, we got something to celebrate, and we'll celebrate together. And we got some news that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay? So we got some bittersweet news going on. And we, unfortunately, we're going to talk about the three-year-old who was shot and killed at his little birthday party in Florida. You know, people say Florida. Florida. Yeah. You know, it was a little after 8 o'clock. You know, they were still celebrating the little tyke's birthday in Miami-Dade County. And some armed dodo birds driving through with semi-automatic rifles drove by the house where the little boy Elijah was standing in front of and started shooting. Okay. And unfortunately, they say they shot over 60 times and hit the little boy. And I tell you, he wasn't the only one. A 21-year-old was shot. And, you know, they just rented their little Airbnb that day to celebrate the little birthday. And they're offering a $15,000 reward for, you know, anybody who comes up with who was responsible. And, you know, unfortunately, now that the weather is shifting, you know, you may start hearing a little more of these things. And, you know, we gotta, you can't even tell people to be careful. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're celebrating a birthday. And the thing about it is, you know, the Airbnb, it was an Airbnb rental. So, you got to wonder a couple of things. And one of the things you want, well, whoever was shooting knew that whoever they wanted was at that property. Because if it's an Airbnb rental, there's not a person who's normally living there. So, somebody knew something, you would think. So, you know, when we talked yesterday, oh, and I forgot to mention that in my recap of the week, that we introduced the new segment, Pray for Them, and we, the targeted individual, or individuals in this case, was the family of Earl DMX Simmons, and, praying for his family, and I was so rudely interrupted yesterday, but you know, hopefully and prayerfully you finished the prayer in your own way, and you know, you see a cause to pray for them. And, and now that we're, you know, learning more and more about the Lord and our responsibility of being a Christian, you know, praying for, you know, the family. You can't pray for him, but you can definitely pray for his family, who is definitely suffering a major loss. You know, you're out there celebrating life, and his little life is now gone. So, you know, just a memory thrown out to, you know, this little one. And keeping in mind that, you know, we need to keep these people lifted you know, before the Lord. And when you can, be careful. When you can, be careful. This is scary because now, you know, the weather is changing and now these people are going to be out here doing all kind of things. And again, you can't stop this stuff from happening. You don't know where you're going to, when you're going to be somewhere and someone's going to act, you know, up and do stuff like this. And, you know, so just another reminder for you to stay prayed up. Yes, because... Okay, it's official. We're switching providers. Y'all need to be praying for this broadcast. This is outrageous. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, so sorry for the interruption. Oh, well, let me continue with what we were talking about. What are we talking about here? We're talking about praying. And how our prayers can definitely shape and change the outcome. So when you're going out, you know, make sure you pray before you leave the house. You know, yes, I know you got up and you prayed, but make sure you pray before you walk out the door because, you know, pray for where you're going, pray for all of those who are in the family who are leaving the house. And just trusting God that, you know, you're going to get back safely. And wherever you go, you know, will be blessed and protected. Okay? All right. So, on a higher note, because I wanted to start there and build up, we've got 114-year-old Nebraska woman becomes oldest living American. Yes, I should have my church bell. Ding, 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 ding. Thelma Sutcliffe of Omaha became the nation's oldest living person and seventh oldest person in the world on April 17th when Hester Ford, 115-year-old woman, died in North Carolina. This is a phenomenal news that we can bring. How often do we get to talk about this kind of stuff? And let me tell you something. Thelma took her COVID shots, and, you know, she's been okay. So God is good. 114 years old. Can you imagine the stuff you've seen over the course of 114 years? Oh, my. Man, think about it. When you got started, it was almost nothing. And now all the things she's seen, the first black president, not one term, but two terms. She's been through, what, two pandemics? You know, man, it's amazing. And we want to celebrate and give God thanks for Ms. Thelma Sutcliffe of Omaha. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't seem to be living past 30 these days because of all the craziness that's going on. But God is still great in all, and we're so happy to be able to bring this kind of news, okay? All righty. Well, let me get our official news started. And first piece of news, I want to talk about is the woman whose partner wanted to hang up a picture of his ex in the bedroom. Now, I mean, come on, people. Okay, so I got to tell you this story. Because, you know, sometimes people think that you just be snooping. And it doesn't always happen like this. You know, there's some things that do just happen. And it's not because, you know, she's nosy all the time. Well, it starts off saying that she was in her partner's swivel chair. And she noticed a pile of pictures sitting next to the monitor, and it had been laying there for quite some time, and she said she had looked through them two or three times prior, so she pretty much knew what the pictures were, and but you know how you do with pictures, you know, you look, oh, let me look through these pictures again, and she combed through the pictures, and she came across picture of him and the ex-girlfriend with another woman, and another picture of, it was a small Polaroid of just the two of them, him and the ex, okay? And she approached him, she asked him, you know, hey, you know, and she did it smart. See, that's what I like to do. You got to set the stage, because if you go a certain direction, automatically, you know, antennas are going up. So she asked him, why are these here? You know, what are you going to do with these pictures? He said, I was thinking of hanging these pictures up. And she said, well, all of them? And he said, I don't know. I really, you know, really haven't thought too much about it. And she said she held the picture up to him and got to the part of the conversation where he was considering, or he had considered actually hanging the picture up of the two of them. Now, if you're living with somebody already, why would you possibly, this is a new thing, because see, I haven't heard of this one before. You would hang up a picture of you and the ex around the woman you're with now? Okay. Well, I'm sure he had his expressions of why he felt that it was okay, you know. Men don't think like women. Men do not think like women. And I mean, although it's dumb, I can honestly believe that there are some men out there who would think that there would be nothing wrong with this. And I had Bible study last night. And we came across a verse. And I'm going to try to remember this verse, part of it. And it said that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I can't remember the tail end of it. But if I just stopped at those three, here's the problem that I'm having. And this is why you have been hearing me, Pastor Steph, on a tangent for these past few months. Because I've been telling you that the Lord has been saying to me, Stephanie, I'm going to expose some things to you. I'm going to have you look through stuff as though you're looking through a magnifying glass or a microscope. You're going to be able to see like skeletal. And I'm so tired of people believing that everything is fine. It's okay to do these things. You know, oh, it should be nothing wrong with us thinking like this. It should be nothing wrong with us feeling like this. And why I bring up the Bible verse is because, like I expressed last night on the phone, we are different. At least that's the way God designed it to be. You know, when you talk about a chosen people, that means that you have been set apart and you're not supposed to think this way. It says you're a royal priesthood. Now, royalty does not think like the average person. Because how are you going to rule if you're thinking and acting like everybody else? A holy nation, which means that the things that you do, the way you think, the way you speak, should be holy. We're supposed to look at these things, and we're supposed to immediately see how this is twisted, wrong, confused. And I'm not saying this was a Christian person, but here's what I am saying. What I am saying is we don't seem to be different enough. We don't seem to be different enough. And after going through that, that Bible verse during the Bible study last night, and I was trying to think of, okay, what are we going to talk about today? And I just kept getting this little... Okay, I had this article already. I had this article for a couple of days, but just I hadn't had a chance to come around to it. But I figured I'd launch my topic today that I'm going to discuss with the men. And I decided to focus on husbands. You know, husbands on the loose is what I'm calling it. And how we are just doing all kinds of things. And unfortunately, Christian men don't seem to be any different or much different than the average man walking around out here. And this is some of the craziness we're dealing with, where you would be with someone else, but you're going to hang up. And even if whether they live together or not, whether they were married or not, how long they've been dating is irrelevant. But there's something twisted about, I don't care how much of a friend y'all might be, because some people do, you know, step away from being, you know, partners, and they're just friends. They're just friends. And I'm sorry. I don't care how friendly you are. You just, it's just not a healthy thing to do. You're not going to tell me it's not going to cause friction, because it will. Because you know as well as I know that when you glance at that picture, you ain't only thinking of them friendly times. Come on now. Don't be telling me, oh, Pastor Steph, I didn't say you didn't think about it at all. So please do not text me and call me with that. I don't want to hear it. That's beside the point. The point is just respect, just having a level of respect, and how we handle these things are really important. And for you to hang this up and you to not think anything of it, oh, you know, I haven't decided. And I'm glad that she approached it like that, because, see, had she approached it another way, then he would have been, you know, possibly sliding out, you know, through another door. But she approached it, you know, well, what are you going to do with these pictures? And let him walk right into it. Because, in all honesty, he may have just had them and he did not plan to hang them up. So there was no assumptions made. So I asked you. And now I got my answer. So we need to think about some stuff. So, you know how we do. That's my launching pad for today. And I'm going to talk to my buddies. And see what they have to say. So hold on a second. My engineer's a little twisted today. I got two Brother Al's. I think I'm recognizing the numbers, though, so let me see. Good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor KL?
I'm well, Pastor KL. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you.
That's good. Glad to hear. Well, I'm mad, Pastor KL. I just wanted to get the nice part out first. What is going on here? You are really considering hanging up the picture of you and your ex. And as a matter of fact, you got two of them. One just happens to be, you know, inclusive of another individual. But you're about to hang up two pictures of your ex. Would that be okay for you and your wife? I'm just asking.
Well, sometimes it has to be a reminder that I can go back there if you don't treat me right. This is what I left for you. But I just need you to know I'm only a phone call away.
Sometimes
you gotta let these folks know, you know, you're not the only God in the game. You know, there's other fish in the sea. You know? You might be a fish, but she used to be a mermaid.
See, that's why you couldn't give me my normal good morning, Pastor Joe, because you was thinking all of this dumb stuff. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor KL, we're talking today about, you know, some of the things that husbands, we're focusing on the husbands. Not that the wives don't do anything, but today we're focusing on the husband. You know, that we do stuff that it's just not healthy. And we are designed, based on the verse that I quoted partially, that somebody, Shantice, please pull the verse up for me so I can give it in its entirety. Yeah, because I don't like to do things partially, halfway. But what's wrong with us that we just, like I said yesterday, gallop with the gang. We don't have a problem with just thinking like everybody else. And there's no differentiating, you know, what we do versus what the next person does. And we're all standing in a room together, and everybody is doing the same thing. How are we set apart visually, you know, to the world? So let's talk about this particular situation. And Lord, I hope that was a joke. we're gonna talk about the real stuff. Cause y'all scare me sometimes. Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. What's your thought on this? Let's talk about this particular instance.
Well, I think that it's a side and a line of disrespect. You know, I mean, now there's memorabilia. You know, I do understand that. So, I mean, she shouldn't ask him to throw it away, you know what I'm saying, because that was a part of his life. But he shouldn't taunt her with it or flaunt it, you know what I'm saying? If you got a little, you know, cubby where you keep your memorabilia, for whatever reason there may be, you know, she could have passed away. She, you know, it could have been anything. You know, don't ask me to throw it away. But for you to display it, you know, as if it was one of your trophies or one of your conquerors, you know, I think that's a form of disrespect. And not only that, it diminishes your wife. And sometimes we don't understand the insecurities that forms within your wife. that she might feel she needs to measure up. You know, so it could be a difficult time in the house, you know, if you do that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for weighing in. Oh, I'm patting my head like in a Minister AJ's form, you know, for that answer. And thank you, God. We're gonna come back later to the differentiating factor. So thank you very much for getting us off to a good start, a good laugh. My stomach is hurting now. Thank you very much. And we'll be back. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop on the morning. Chop, chickity, chop, chop on the morning. Oh, yeah.
You know, I see you and Pastor KL just sitting there just waiting for the thing to say on music. And all
exactly.
of this burst of energy and it just gets thrust. Glad to hear you this morning, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Brother Al, we're talking about the male, the partner, the husband, who has two pictures of the ex in his arsenal and has intent to hang this picture up where they live, in the same space they live in. What's your thought?
Okay, well, before we go in that, I heard Pastor Kale answer, and I just want to let you know, Pastor Kale, my couch is always available. You just got to get to New York, and you can sleep on my couch. You know, so I just wanted to let you know that if you're ever in need, my couch is there for you.
What a brother.
And Pastor Kale, you said that, I mean, Pastor Steph, you said they live together?
Well, I'm looking at it here, and I'm believing they live together. So, you know what? Let's put it that they live together. That's going to be our story
okay.
today. That's going to be our
okay.
story today, that they live together.
Okay. Well, my answer would be the same regardless if they live together or not. That's just total disrespect. You know, it's disrespect to the woman that you're dating. You know, and I think what's happening with men, we don't think sometimes, and we just do. You know, or like you say, if it's he live by himself, oh, it's my house, I could do what I want. So you still disrespecting your woman. You know, a perfect example. Everybody know me and Tamika's together. I had a fiance, everything was going fine, and she passed away. She went home to the Lord. I have pictures of her. Those pictures are put up. Now Tamika saw the picture. You know, saw you know. Hey, this is who I was with. Oh, okay, she's pretty. Boom, it's put up because it's just a form of respect. It's just, okay, you know what? I did care about her, love her. That's in the past now. That'll never go, but that's over here. I'm with somebody new now. So that's just straight disrespect, period.
Okay. And you're another one. I'm patting my forehead. Whew. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to come back to that verse in a little bit. Oh, let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Come on, Minister AJ.
Good morning,
AJ. Yay,
yay, yay. Good morning.
okay, jokey now. You got a little brush or something over there. What's going on? Well, how are you today? You sound well. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. And you? And yourself?
I'm well, thank you. We're talking about this partner, this male partner, who wants to hang up a picture of his ex, and he has a present. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely crazy. Unless you post pictures or put up pictures of people you're praying for, you know, your sick and shedding list or something like that. No. This shouldn't be going on. I think it's crazy. You know, give your current woman the respect, you know, so she doesn't have to wonder or think, you know. how beautiful this mermaid was. So, you know, just alleviate your thoughts. I think when you post pictures, you're gonna, her mind is gonna start working. You know, why are you posting these pictures? Are you still thinking about her? I think you raised too many questions. So I would say definitely stay away from that.
Okay. You know, it's this is just a new breed of people here. Okay. Let's move on to another story. Let's move on to another story about the husbands. Okay. This is about an ex-husband who bought a house with their son. And now the son's business is failing. But now remember, there's a connection here because you've purchased property together. So now he didn't consult the wife, and we're in trouble now. You know, what do you say for husbands who make decisions such as this one? And even though it was for the son, was it, let's say, fair? You know, how do we make decisions? How should we make decisions, big or small, but especially a big one like this, you know, when you're married, you're not by yourself, and these particular decisions drag everybody down? How do we handle these kind of decisions, Brother Al, as husbands?
Well, as a husband, he should have spoke with his wife. I think people get married and forget what it's about. It's no longer you and you. It's us. So that was just disrespectful again. You know, why you didn't sit down with your wife and say, listen, this is a, what do you think about this? And hear her opinion on it. She might come up with something that you didn't think about, you know, and let her be a part of it. You basically made her an outcast. You know, so people are just not handling that correctly. There's no more you and I. There's us.
Okay. Minister AJ, you know, maybe the thought was, you know, this is our son, because she did say our son. You know, this is our son. And, hey, I should be able to help our son with no problem. I'll help him buy this house. What do you think?
If it's our son, it should be our decision. When you get married, the two become one. So it shouldn't be, as far as I'm concerned, that's almost like two decisions. How do you know the spouse would have agreed? So it should be one decision. You know, like drumline, one sound, one band. You know, we all moving together. You know, and yeah, that's in Jesus' name. You know, one decision. Let's come together and agree, because guess what? Now that we're in trouble, who is going to bail us out? You know, even though people have joint accounts, sometimes you have separate accounts. Now you're going to be looking across the table at my separate account, and you want me to bail you out, and I may not feel like bailing you out, because maybe I would have thought that it was a bad idea from the beginning.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, maybe there was a thought that, I didn't really step out too far, you know, or she wouldn't mind if I do this. And what's wrong with it? I should be able to make that kind of decision for our children.
Yeah. I think, again, as my brothers have said, you should have spoken to your wife. You know, because, and I say it this way, you know, sometimes you as the breadwinner, you're not always in the house. You know, you're not always around with the children. And the wife can see that this child is irresponsible. But you don't see that level, because this is your son, and this is a seed of you, and he's your next generation. So you ignore all his faults. But the wife knows that this child is irresponsible, and he ain't going to pay these bills. You know, so you should have gotten that information from her, so you can see the clear picture. Because all you see right now is your son, is you, a mirror of you, and you want to do right for your child. You want to leave something for your child, And your wife is saying, nah, this ain't what we're leaving. You know, we're gonna leave him a box. He could do what he want to do with the box. Until he showed me that he's responsible with the box, he can't get the house. So, yeah, it should have been a discussion.
Okay. Oh, we have another husband on the loose story. Now, some of these stories I'm customizing. I'm just taking the base of the story and I'm customizing it. So if there are some that are looking up these things and they're like, that's not what it says. I know what it says. And I'm just tailoring it, you know, to bring out, you know, some points that God needs us to share with our listeners. Okay. All righty. So another husband on the loose, my husband and his brother, you know, they inherited some property, and now that property becomes ours, okay? Our son moves in, and we put out all the money, okay, in taxes and repairs. And we're talking a tune of over $50,000, okay? Now, he puts in money, and it's time to sell a house. And my husband says, hey, I think we should, you know, give him some money. He hasn't been paying any rent, but he's, you know, put in some money for the repairs, and but nowhere near their repairs. You know, the money that they, the over the $50,000 that they've put out. But the husband feels that the son should get a portion of the sale. Minister AJ, what's your thought?
I don't know. That's a tough one. Nah, I don't think so. Not necessarily. I mean, if you haven't been paying no rent, so this is your rent. This is part of your rent, you know. You know, even if you rent an apartment from somebody and you put money in repairs, it's not to always say that you're going to get your money back. So no, and I guarantee you the amount that he gave for the repairs didn't equal the amount of the free rent. So hey, now it's up to us if we'll give you a portion.
Okay. Pastor KL, what say you?
Well, I look from it from two different sides. One, I'm in agreement that he should not get anything because he's living for free. But as I disclosed on a previous show, you know, there's my money, there's your money, and there's our money. So if my money went with my brother to buy this house, then I should be able to make that decision on whether he gets any money because it never affected your money. And it never affected our money. So that's how I look at it. But at the end of the day, he ain't getting nothing because I want my money back.
Oh, goodness gracious. Now, even with, and I just want some clarification, even with the fact that they have put out money for the house and the expenses. So it may not have been the home that they bought together, but the maintenance and the mortgage payments have come from them. Does that kind of still stand?
Come from them as the brother and the husband, or come from them as
no,
the married couple?
From the couple. The couple. This is the wife who's upset.
Well, no, I mean, if the wife is actually putting in as well as me, then yes, she gets to make that decision as well. Because I mean, we're doing this as a joint venture, you know. So I mean, if I'm doing it, then you know, you need to sit on to the side, and I'll break you off a piece when I get my money.
Oh no. No, not at all. That's the premise of the argument. The premise of the argument is him and the brother inherited the house.
Oh, okay.
But it's
okay,
been the
okay,
wife
okay.
and the the husband, who has been actually paying and keeping it up, and the son moves in, but he hasn't really done anything, but he's contributed to the, you know, every once in a while to the repairs.
Well,
but nothing.
She needs to get equal part, and the son gets nothing, and the brother would get minimal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
What say you?
Wow, I'm listening to the story, and it is a deep story. And I believe there should have been a conversation that went on with that from the beginning, being that you and your brother inherited place. So it should have been a conversation on how we're going to do this from the beginning. But from listening to the story, number one, he ain't getting jacked. He ain't getting nothing. Oh, no. You live rent-free, you get Nathan. So now, we know we always do things for our kids. Okay, you got nowhere to stay because you ain't coming back home. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get this money. I'm going to put down on an apartment for you. I'm going to pay maybe 2 months rent for you. Then after that, you're on your own. Because, you know, we look out for our kid. We go bend over backwards for them. But as far as me giving you money, nah, you ain't getting no money. You paid already when you live rent-free. So you get Nathan.
Okay. So I'm going to ask this question, and I'll start with you again, Minister AJ. He's an adult. Should he be living for free?
Not at all. No way. You know, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So you shouldn't be living for rent free, you know, unless you have a sickness or a disease or something. And even in that, you probably be getting a check. So we'll take that check and we'll give it up. And we'll take care of the business. But nah, as a grown man, you shouldn't be living rent free. Nowhere.
Okay. Pastor KL, what do you say? This is an adult man, and, you know, you have this house, and, you know, y'all didn't pay to get the house. But there's upkeep of the house and, you know, taxes and insurance and all that good stuff. Should he be allowed to live for free?
Well, I think it sounds like, I mean, I don't know the author of the story, but it sounds like it's Kirk Franklin's son. And I don't know.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
He seems to think that he's owed a lot of stuff. But no, of course not. He should not live for free. Freely come and freely go. How about that?
Okay. Brother Al, you know, what do you think? Should he have even been allowed to live for free at all?
Well, you're asking the wrong one. How can I say no in every language? Every language. And, you know, it's crazy because that's what I went through with my two sons. You know, these kids just say, oh, well, you know, that's my dad. I shouldn't have to pay anything. And they're not realizing that we're setting them up for life. I don't care where you go, you're going to have to pay something. So that should have been established again from the beginning. Okay, you're going to live here? Okay, I tell you what, pay the taxes on the house, pay the house insurance. Then do that. But you're going to pay something. You're going to pay something.
Okay.
If you can't do that, then you know what? Go somewhere else and find somewhere to live.
Okay. I got another question. It's your daughter. It's your adult daughter. And she doesn't have any children. So you're not doing it for the grandbabies. Does your adult daughter get to live for free, Mr. AJ?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. To me, it's going to be even worse because, you know, God forbid something happens to you, the parent or the father, the mother, and she has to now fend for herself. You know, what money do you have? And what man is going to want you? You know what I'm saying? A lot of men is not going to want you if you never worked a job, you never had no finances, and you know what I mean? And you don't know how to manage nothing. And a lot of times when we let them live rent-free, and they don't know how to take care of bills, when they get out on their own, they're not going to know how to pay bills. And boy, that can be devastating. Marrying a woman who don't know how to pay them bills, even if you bring it on board.
How do we walk into that one? Oh my goodness.
You know, you don't want somebody, and then now as the man, you got to sit in your car on your break and pay bills. That don't make no sense. Bring up all the money. Nah, we can do bad all by ourselves.
Okay. Pastor KL, what about your adult daughter? Does she get to live for free?
You know, in when I heard it, in my mind, I automatically reacted and said, of course, that's my baby girl. But then as I began to really think this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm letting you live here for free. Pookie gonna come up there and stay the night for free. You know what I mean? I'm just running this whole thing for free for another man to come up and lay with you. No. We're not gonna do that. You got to pay. You got to pay to play.
Okay. Brother Al, in English.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it in English now. You want me to say it in English? I'll say it in Spanish. I'll say it in Dutch for you. Don't come. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it.
Does she get to live for free?
Well, you told me to say it in English, but I'll say it as they do in the election. Nay.
Okay.
Hey, you know, same, my answer stayed the same, brother, female or male. And here's another thing. I may sound cruel, even if she had children, my grandchildren, you're still going to pay. Because, and that's a lot what's going on now with these kids. The parents don't do it, and then these kids feel they're not supposed to pay anything, and this and that, and you're not teaching them life. So when they get out there, those are the kids that are late on their rent or late with all their bills because they're so used to, I ain't got to pay. You're going to pay one way or another. Right. You can either pay me or you can pay another landlord. Take a choice. Just saying what it is.
No, I laugh because that sounds exactly what I would say. No! If I don't teach you how to pay a bill, you won't be leaving this house and they talk about me. Like, I ain't teach you nothing. No, because you have to pay somebody. So you pay them or you pay me, but you gonna pay somewhere. And it may not be quote-unquote like rent, you know, level, but you're not living here for free. We can't do that. We can't do that. So that's why I laughed.
No, sir.
That was the one that sounded closest to what I would say. You gonna be me, somebody else, you gonna be somebody. Yeah, you could be me. Stay and help your mama. But you could go and help to take some care of somebody else's mortgage. It's up to you. So
hey, Pastor Steph, I should have said it in the Ralph Cranston voice. No, sir. No, sir. Sir, sir. No, sir.
Yes, because that's the way it goes down. Trust me. All right, gentlemen, I got another one. Husband on the loose. Listen, my husband's son lives with me and he. I'm saying it like that for a reason. He is mentally, he is emotionally abusive to me. And, you know, my husband won't put him out because he says that he has some kind of health issues. But he's, just because he can't hold up, you know, for himself, you know, out there, why do I have to be a victim of this treatment? Who stays and who goes, or who goes and who stays, or what do we do at this point? You're the husband. You're the man of the house. And you're the one who's ensuring that he has a place to live. But I'm about to pack up and get up out of here because I can't take it. Pastor KL.
Well, no, that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen because, listen, I've raised you to the best of my ability. I've got you on your feet. You know, you can't respect the woman of the house. You have to go. I've learned that my wife can do more for me than my son in a lot of different ways. So since you're old enough and you want to be contrary, it's time for you to go. You're not going to mess up a good thing. Because now if she leaves, it's me and you. Oh, no, that's not going to work out. That's not going to be conducive to your spiritual life right now. So either you get it together or, you know, like they say, I'll pay 2 months just to get you out. But my wife ain't leaving me. Me and my wife are going to live in a car before I let her leave me.
So what about the fact that he has mental health issues? Because this is the premise.
There's places for
this
that.
This is the
premise
of
for that.
Okay.
There's places
okay.
for that. Not only, listen, and wait, that even helps my argument. If you have mental issues, then you get a check. I don't even have to pay the 2 months. You get me. If you are a functional idiot, then we okay. You ain't that crazy that you're going against my wife. You ain't that crazy that you know what to say to be disrespectful. You ain't that mental.
Wow. All righty. Brother Al.
Yes.
What say you?
I would say, here's your coat, here's the door, goodbye, see you later. You gotta go. There's nothing to talk about. What is there to talk about? Now the thing is, I can go about this two ways. Now, if we got a basement, that's going to be your new home. You go, I'm going to put a gate up where you can't come upstairs. I only can come downstairs. And check on you, make sure you're okay, this and that. Now, if we don't have a basement, then you got to be put in an institution. You're not coming here and mess up my home. Do you know how hard it is to find a wife? And you're going to mess it up? No! You're not messing that up. You got to go. Got to go, Pastor.
Okay.
Got to go.
Okay. That came out in one language. Okay. where you at, Minister AJ? What's your thought?
My thought is you got to go, because if you break out that gate that I done put up, it's going to be even more problems. Because now you're going to make me even more mad. You know, you're my wife, you broke out the gate, somebody going to get it, you know? So just to save us the trouble, so I won't be locked up. You know what? We're going to, like Pastor Gale said, there's some places you can go. We're going to put you there. We're going to make sure you're good. And we'll come and visit you. You know, because evidently you need some attention. And maybe you need it around the clock. And maybe neither one of us can give you that attention around the clock. So let's put you in the high-functioning center and let you do what you got to do.
Okay. Ooh, I tell you. All right, we got one more. All right. Now, there's a woman and a man who's going to get married. And she buys this wedding dress and she has it altered. She's in love with it. She's talking about it incessantly. And she's talking about it incessantly to the one she's getting ready to marry. So she shows him, you know, all the other attire that has been chosen for the wedding, and he says, I love it. So she picks up the wedding gown a little earlier, and she wants to, you know, she can't hold it. She's so excited. She goes and puts the dress on, and she shows it to him. Now, that's first abnormal in the first place, but because she couldn't wait, she showed it to him. She said, how do I look? How do you like the dress? And he says, do you really want to know the truth? And she says, yes. That's why I showed it to you. And he says, I hate it. He says, I hate it. Now, what would you have done in that case? Would you have told her, Brother Al, that, you know, I don't like it. You need to do something else, get something else. Or would you have just left her alone?
Wow. that's a good one. Because as soon as you say you don't like it, there may not be no marriage. but being me and having to be honest, I would have said I wasn't too fond of it. I'd have had to say it, try to say it in the best way as possible. You know, like, you know, I'm really not too fond of it. And, you know, and ask some questions about the dress and see what we, you know, if she agree with me, can we do something with it? Or, you know, if not, then I guess you had to keep it. We didn't pay, the money. You didn't got it altered. So.
Okay. All right. Minister AJ, what would you have done? How would you have answered?
Well, yeah, I would have definitely expressed that I didn't like it. You know, I don't know about hate it, but, you know, definitely expressed that I don't like it. Because one thing about me, if you're somewhere with me and your clothes is off, I'm going to be silent. I'm talking about, you know, if I can't say nothing right then and there, I'm going to be silent. You know, I hate to be in the street with somebody and something, and they have something on and it just don't look right or it looks off, you know. So I'm sorry. Maybe that's a phobia for, you know, growing up when I had to wear clothes that was too tight or too big. So it annoys me. So for me, I'm definitely going to let you know. We just have to redo this again, baby.
Okay. Pastor KL, how would you have handled this?
I think I would have asked her, was that the only dress in your size?
You know what? Yeah, why do we have to go to the size? Why do we have to go to the size? Why is this, he just didn't like
no,
the way it looks?
Because no, you missed the point.
I did.
Because is that the only dress you could have found? Was that the only one on the rack that was in your size? Because that's an ugly dress. Could we have not chosen something else? You know, was that the only dress in the size 4 that we could have picked? You know, that's an ugly dress. And I... It's a good thing I'm not walking down the aisle to you, but I surely don't want you walking down the aisle with me, to me in that. See, I'm just going to be bluntly, very, very blunt. Because, listen, at the end of the day, they swoop us off somewhere to take pictures. Now, we looking like Beauty and the Beast. You know, them pictures ain't going to be nice. No, you're not. Listen, anybody who knows Pastor KL knows I am a stickler for clothes. For everything matching, for everything putting well together. So if you coming in the house, not only acting like Bridezilla, but looking like Bridezilla, well, we got problems.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Okay. So we're going to deal with the ex-husband who's on the loose. After the divorce was finished, the wife is looking out the window, and there's a moving van next door. And she's excited because, you know, the house is, she was very, you know, close to the people next door. But now, you know, the house, they said they were selling the house, and now the house is going to be occupied. It won't be vacant. And when she goes over to meet the neighbor, it's the ex-husband. Oh, it's the ex-husband who has now bought the house for sale next door. And he did it during the time they were getting a divorce. What say you, Minister AJ?
That's crazy, but I mean, hey, it is what it is. I mean, listen, you're the ex for a reason, so. You know, I won't look over your fence. You don't look over my fence. I don't know what to say to that one. You know, you got your spouse or the new spouse or the new piece, and I got my new piece. So peace be still.
You know what? I can't. All right. Pastor KL, what say you?
Well, I think I want to know one thing. Since she got remarried, Did they move there, or was her ex-husband was there first? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, so they lived in the house at, you know, 112, she and her husband. They got divorced, and during the divorce proceedings, the house next door came up for sale.
The 113, he bought that house. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course he did that on purpose, you know. But me as the husband, you know, in my former life, I used to say the hell in me will make your life a living hell. But since I'm now reformed, you know, hey, how you doing? I'll invite you to the barbecue. You know what I mean?
No, okay.
I got what you couldn't keep. So I'm the winner.
Mm.
You know, so I mean, that's how I look at it.
Okay.
In fact, my wife and her ex-husband, me and her ex-husband are good friends. We have no problem.
Okay.
We go to functions okay. together with the kids. You know, we got no problem. But he ain't moving next door, though. That we ain't doing that. We ain't that good of friends.
Well, now you don't have a choice because now remember, this is not something I discussed with you. This is something that has happened. I can't make you sell the house. Remember now, this is after the divorce has been finalized and now she sees new people. So you can't make a move. You can't make him move. So how do we do this? I guess it goes back to what you said. We're going to find a way to be some friends.
We're going to find a way. But you know what? There was a wonderful woman who sung a song. I'll bust the windows out your car.
Oh, my. Oh, my. A nice way to go when we're talking. We're talking about our former life versus the reformed life. Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so is that the former life or the reformed life?
No, that's the former life. Again, me and my wife's ex-husband, we're great. I mean, we don't have no problem anymore.
Oh my goodness gracious. All righty, brother.
One window bill.
Wow. Okie dokie. Well, we don't call you Pastor KL today for the rest of the second. We don't call you Pastor KL. Brother Al, what say you?
Man, that's a crazy story. I'm looking at it depend on the situation as far as her and the ex. Was he abusive to her and she was scared of him? Because if he was abusive or did something horrible to her, then honestly I would look to try to move so she wouldn't have to go through that of seeing this guy all the time. But if it was just things didn't work out and they broke up, then you know what? I make my fence a little taller and let's live life.
Okay. Well, thank you. But did I ask Minister AJ? Yes. Did I ask you, Minister AJ?
Yeah, you started with him. Yeah.
I
started with me.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought so. Thank you. All right. So, Pastor KL actually ended up walking back into, you know, what I started off talking about earlier, and that was, you know, the fact that, you know, in these times when, you know, when crazy is being handed to us, you know, how do we respond? Do we respond in like, and we're crazy? Or are we going to be the reformed individuals in any way, in any manner? And I thank you. Shantice, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you know what? You know, we can easily say, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, God's still working on them and things like that. But what keeps us, you know, from behaving as though we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people? You know, a lot of times we don't want to be peculiar. Peculiar is, you know, that's the weird one. You know, instead of us looking at it from the opposite direction, we're looking at it as man looks at it. Pastor KL, what's some of your thoughts?
Well, all of that describes on who you are. You know, you also have to realize that you are the head and not the tail. You are the lender and not the borrower. You know, you have to keep your composure because, you know, these are part of your characteristics. You know, this is what God wants of you. You have to be able to understand who you are and whose you are in God. Therefore, you can't let nothing persuade you or sway you from your character. You know, what can separate me from the love of God? You know, once you move out of your character, you're being persuaded from the love of God. So yeah, things come up against you, you know, but you have to be have a firm mindset that you're going to live a good life, you know, because people are looking for your reaction, not your action. They're looking for your reaction. Mm. They're looking to see what you're going to do, how you're going to respond. And sometimes in watching how you respond, they think it's okay, and they respond likely. So you have to understand that when you do things, you're not only doing it for you, you know, but you're doing it for the picture of somebody else, you know, who's not as firm or confirmed in God as you are. So here you are, knowing who you are, knowing your characteristics, and you're able to be swayed. You're somebody able to push your buttons. Well, think of the sinner man or the man who's just now coming to Christ, you know, who is not as strong as you. So again, they're looking at your picture, the picture that you have on the wall. You know, when they walk in your house or when they walk around you, what do they see? You know, is it a firm foundation or is there still cracks in it? If there's still cracks in it, we have a problem.
Okay. Thank you. Brother Al, I'm going to reread this verse, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's wrong with us that we don't choose to set ourselves apart more often based on this scripture?
I think what the problem is, you still have some people, and it sounds funny, that's even older that still wants to fit in the in crowd, who wants to be down, who wants to show that, hey, listen, I'm a Christian and holy, but I could turn up when it's ready, you know, and they keep that in their mind instead of looking at where God brought you from. You know, like when you show where God brought you from, things, you know, that shows people. Now, even with me working with the children, right? When me working with the children, I have to keep a certain thing to show them, because kids are asking the man, but Coach Al, didn't you say such and such, such and such? And it's like, oh, shoot, yeah, you know what? Yes, I did say that. And to be able to, you know, to be able to pray and say, you know what? This is where God delivered me from, and I ain't going back. You know, and I struggled with that. You know, and I said, okay, God brought me from this. I prayed for this. So now that he gave it to me, why am I going to give it back? You know, and some people just feel, you know, in self-control. They can't control themselves. You have to control yourself because the enemy is going to test you. That one thing that I had to learn with my children, I'm big on respect. I can't stand a disrespectful kid. I don't care how old you are. You know what I'm saying? And I struggled with that because the enemy knew that. So he would bring that towards me, and I had to fight and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going back. So we have to sit back and say, okay, you know what? God delivered me from this. I prayed about it, and he was gracious enough to give it to me. So you know what? I ain't going back. And like you said, too, somebody else watching you. I've had people saw me and some things happen. It's like, wow, Al, you different, man, because I know before that happened, man, you ready to flip off and this and that. So people will be able to see that, like, wow, you know, he's different. He's not doing that no more.
Okay. Minister AJ, this one last round of this verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And again, that's taken from 1 Peter 2:9. What seems to be the problem that, you know, we are not walking in who God says we are?
Ego. For me, it's ego. And it's been a while, so I'm going to give it to you in the form of an acronym. You know, expelling God out. You know, ego, expelling God out. You know, putting God on the outside of our relationships. And Pastor Kale said, the lender, you know, we should be the lender, not the borrower. You know, if you don't have God in your life, you don't have scripture, if you don't have the word, then you don't really honestly know how to do it. And then Brother Al said, you know, I prayed for this, so why would I give it back? When are we going to ascend to such a high level in God that it's going to cost us too much, you know, to even answer our enemy? You know what I'm saying? Nehemiah and them were building a wall, but, you know, we're doing such a great work, we can't come down right now. In other words, we at such a high level, it's going to cost us too much to come back, to have this 1 or 2 minutes of us fulfilling our ego. Is going to cost us too much, man. And I think sometimes we just don't ascend high enough that we look back and say, you know what, that's foolishness right there. I'm not even going to entertain that. You know, it's going to cost me too much.
Okay. I have a question, and Brother Al touched on it. What's wrong with us saying, you know, I can always be like this? You know, I always got that in me. What's wrong with saying that, Brother Al, if we're trying to focus on being, you know, this royal priesthood and chosen generation and peculiar people? What's wrong with literally saying that? I can always be like this. You know, I'm 2 seconds from being like this. You know, I still got that in me. What's wrong with saying that?
You're speaking it to an existence. You haven't let it go. That means you haven't let it go. You prayed and you prayed, but you haven't let it go. And that verse that you read, I'm listening to it, man. It sounds so beautiful. And I think another big problem is people hear that verse but don't believe it. You know, you got to believe in what the Lord is saying. He's giving it to you right there. This is what you are. So do you believe it? Because if you believe it, it's like, okay, I can go forward. This is what I am. If you don't believe it, it's like, whatever, but speaking that is saying that you fully haven't let that go, and being that you didn't let it go, it's gonna keep riding with you till you completely say, okay, I'm off that wagon now. I'm getting on a different one.
Okay. Minister AJ, what's wrong with saying that? You know, I'm 2 seconds from, you know, being that person, or you know, well, it ain't out of me yet. What's wrong with saying things like that if we're looking at this particular verse?
Well, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. You know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So, you know, how do somebody is able to tell us apart? We have to be different. We have to be unique. If we're answering the same way the world was, or we're acting the same way, there's no difference. You know, we've got to be able to put those former things behind us and press towards the mark of something greater, you know, and look different.
Okay. Pastor KL, what would you say is wrong with saying, you know, those particular type statements?
You're giving life to negativity. You know, because we keep on saying death and life lies in the power of tongue. So when you say, I'm just 2 seconds away, you know, first of all, if your negative is that close to you, you're not even trying to let it go. You know, you're not even trying to deliver yourself. You know, a lot of times when we sweep things under the rug, it's so far under the rug, you know, that sometimes it rises up. But when you just 2 seconds away, you didn't sweep that thing nowhere. You just pushed it back a little bit. You know, so you have to decide how you want to live. You know, you just said how they said that we're a peculiar people. Peculiar means that to some folks, we may be strange. So stop trying to fit in. You know, people are going to look at you differently because you're a peculiar people and they don't understand you yet. But if you keep on walking the life that you walk, after a while, they're going to understand and say, hey, I want to know the same God that you know. I want to know the same Jesus you know. But when you keep on confirming the things of the world, when you keep on confirming that I'm just 2 seconds of being just like you, how are you attracting folks, or how are you trying to help folks get delivered from themselves if you are just like them? Stop speaking life into these negative situations.
All right, all right. So here's how I'm asking you gentlemen to close out this segment today. Would you mind giving us, helping the listeners out here, and giving an example of a time when, you know, you crossed over in your reformed life and you didn't think about the fact that you were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and how not to let that happen to you. Give your closing on that, and I'm gonna start with you, Brother Al.
Okay, I think I got what you said. It's something that we have done, and wasn't thinking about that, right? Thinking about that
right.
verse, right? I would say,
don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Right. Wow, I want you to finish this up, please.
Okay, I got you on that. Anger, my youngest son, his mother had a way of pushing my buttons. And I was fine till she said or did something with my son, and I would go completely off. I mean, no ball, cussing her out, ready to beat her up. It, you know, just no self-control at all when it came to that. And it kept going on and on and on, and I had to sit back and say, wow. And I remember my brother telling me, saying, Al, you letting that woman have too much power over you. You know, she know that when she talk about your son or she do something, that it get to you. And every so often when things was calm or something, she would do it on purpose. And he said, you just fly off like a crazy man. He said, yo, you getting that woman too much power. And I really had to sit back and was like, wow, you know what, that's true. This woman got power. She can make me do whatever. Whenever she felt like, if she wasn't doing nothing today, you know what, let me call Al and make him mad, and was able to do it. That is too much power. And I had to really sit back and pray and say, Father, take that away from me, please. I can't keep going on like this. And when I prayed about it, I had to trust that he was going to do it. And he did it. You know, he did it. I started to do slow steps. Because a lot of people think, okay, I prayed, he did it, it's just going to happen right away. No, you got to take slow stuff. So when she said her little smart remarks, I started hanging up on her so I ain't get into the big argument. Then I started, was able to hear her and just say, okay, is that what you feel? Hey, look, I'm coming to pick him up this weekend. And then it just kept going and going to whatever she said didn't bother me. And then eventually she stopped because she couldn't get to me. So don't let being uncontrolled take over you. Not being in control. You have to be in control. If you're not in control, I'm telling you, it's going to be a mess. I've been there.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Minister AJ, what example would you like to use? And don't let it be you.
I would like to use the example of when Pastor Steph told me, I'm joking. I know I use your example. But for me, it was me being a young manager at Applebee's. And, you know, people used to joke all the time, sometimes invite me to joke sessions, and then I would just sometimes crush them with the joke. But this one particular old man got under my skin one day. You know, just, you know how we are sometimes, ego. This is the former life now. Please remember former life, okay? And he made me mad, and I told him I was going to take him outside. I said, do you want to go outside? And I was going to lay hands. And I wasn't going to be brave, but, you know, and essentially, you know, eventually I lost my job because of that incident. And, you know, what it taught me is you got to think about the consequences first. You know, don't let people take you to such a level that you don't even think about the consequences. Now, thank God for the twins, grace and mercy, because I ended up getting, you know, a little rest in between jobs. I still was running my business. I was making more money. But I can't allow people, don't allow people to take you out of your character, because, you know, one day you might wear grace and mercy out and you might be, you know, you could be homeless, broken, or poverty stricken. You know, thank God for grace and mercy that I did get a better job, but it taught me just, you know, think about the consequences first, you know what I mean, before you react.
Okay. Thank you for that transparency. Pastor KL, you have the final word today, a cautionary tale.
All right. Well, I'm going to be very, very transparent. Me in my former life, I was really into flesh. Okay, let's just say it. I was into sex. And I would do something. I would do things just to conquer women, you know. And my excuse was, you know, now mind you, I'm thinking that I'm saved, but I ain't really saved. But my excuse was that I'm saved, but not delivered. And as long as I can say that, it gave me an excuse to do what I wanted to do. So I would just have sex, reckless sex. I mean, and then keep on coming back to church saying, Lord, you know I ain't delivered from that yet, you know. And then I got married. And 14 years later into my well, 12 years later into my marriage, a 14-year-old son popped up. And we had to do DNA tests and all this other stuff. Now, of course, it was before my marriage. But what I'm trying to say is that things that you do and that you make excuses for can come back and bite you. Not only you, but for your child, but because 12 years, he was out his father. You know, so here I am thinking that I'm just doing what I do because it's who I am. You know, and I'm affecting so many lives, because now I got to explain to my wife. You know, now I got to explain to my, I got to comprehend it myself. Now I got to explain to my child while his dad, the preacher, the pastor, the prophet, wasn't there for him. So we have to be careful in the decisions that we make in our lives now. Forget about your former life. Let's talk about today. Today you can change whoever you are. Today you can change whatever you did. You know, today you can start anew. You know, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This can be your new day. So whatever you was doing that was reckless, give it to God. Whatever, listen, if you find yourself doing something, ask, would God appreciate this? Would God honor this? Are you honoring God? Are you honoring yourself? Are you a chosen generation? Are you a royal priesthood? You've got to be able to break down everything in that verse and ask yourself, do you exemplify the things of this verse? If you find that even one of them you don't, then let's change it. Let's figure it out. Let's get better. Let's get a closer walk with God. Let's get new friends. Let's get people that's going to pray for you and not prey on you. Let's get people that's going to push you into glory and not push you into a hole. A lot of things we do today, whether you believe it or not, whether it's for the moment or not, is going to affect your tomorrow. So let's come together and figure it out.
Amen. Thank you so very much, gentlemen, for just blessing our Friday and taking us into a wonderful weekend with a whole lot to think about. And hopefully people will take your advice and make that change. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
You do the same.
You too. Thank Love you. My brothers.
Thank
Love you.
You
too, sir.
All right. Thank you. Ah, okay. You know, I'm going to give this a benediction and then we'll start our, you know, our conversation. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with the thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Father I'm sorry, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, that's Colossians 3, 16 and 17. You know, there's a lot that was said today, and you know, we have a responsibility here on this due time with Pastor Steph to push God, to push God's way, to push the things that God would want us to do. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about what we want to do. It's not about, you know, what we feel like doing or what we don't feel like doing. We have a responsibility here to push the word of God and to push the way God would want us to do things. And in all of those particular instances, we gave, like I said, you know, I twist it up as I need to get a point across or to draw something out. You know, I see nothing but me. I see nothing but me. You know, I really didn't take the time to think about what my wife would feel or my child would feel, or, you know, this would, you know, it should happen this way. And there was a lot of different things that went on, and they all sprout wings and tentacles and legs, because, and what I'm basically saying is, you know, like Pastor K.L. gave in his testimony today, it never just stops here. Whatever he did way back in the day, it came back, and it didn't just affect him. It affected those around him. It affected his son, because now you have a child who has not, you know, not only known but seen his dad and his father, and now that has to be a relationship that has to start now at 12 years old. A boy, 12 years old. And we've been hearing, you know, we've done stories here on his due time about, you know, children that age. You know, children who were taking cars, and, you know, the girls who were bored and setting, you know, a fire, you know, the house, you know, and whatever else they were, you know, some little awesomeness. You know, when do we think of children 12 and 14 as carjackers, car thieves, and arsonists? And now you don't know what's happened with this child all this time, and now you have got to begin this relationship. And for those of us who have children that we're looking at every day, that challenge is hard enough. And if you all remember, Pastor KL was very candid along with his wife when they were on the relationship clinic, you know, where they had the children who said, hey, you know, this is a blended relationship. You're not my daddy. You're not my mama. So now you have this new life that's coming to yours, and it sprouts a whole bunch of arms and legs and wings and all kinds of things. And that's the point that's being made here. You know, when we don't remember that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you know, a peculiar people, a holy nation, when we step out of that, when we lose sight that's who we are, that's who we have been, that's how God sees us. When we say I do, then everything needs to shift. And when we don't do that, then we make a big mess. Because like the gentleman said, you know, we forget that people are watching. We talk about that all the time here on this due time. We've had church folk that comes up quite often in church folk. You know, us being examples And a lot of times when we lose sight of who we are and we're acting just like everybody else, we're putting God to an open shame. That's what happens. That's what happens. Because if he's doing things on our behalf, because he has a job to do as well, and he's doing these things to show the world and to show your community, show your neighbors, and to show your family and friends that you are, you know, in a certain group, a special group. And then you go and flip that around. Now, who gets the glory? The enemy. And, you know, like I said in Bible study last night, I'm talking and it's just like hitting me. And it's hitting me. And I'm like, now I see why God has me like frowning so often at people who are supposedly walking in the Lord, but yet you can't see it. When they talk, you can't hear it. Where is God in you? You know, we're supposed to be the shining light, and, you know, we are supposed to be able that other people see us. But here's the problem. It's bad enough when they can't see Jesus in you, because, you know, some people are just, you know, just like that. No matter how much you do, they gonna find something wrong. But when I can't identify who you are in a crowd, who you are in this group, and I can't even say, you know what, it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle, and it's just all outright pandemonium. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. We have to be able to represent God much better than we do. Responsibility. We have to show, that God has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm going to tell you a really quick story. I remember quite some years ago, had to be, I remember around 2007, we were doing an assignment in church, and everybody got their assignment and their topic, and when I got mine, it was out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was mine. And I was like, oh, boy, that's going to be a tough one. And I mulled it over, and just couldn't come up with anything. And then at the last minute, when it was almost time for me to give, I come like the day before, God gave me something. And I was like, whoa. And what had happened was, you know, some of you know that early in my teenage years, my latter teenage years, I was a victim of domestic violence and domestic abuse. And I noticed that I hated the sun. I couldn't figure this out. Everybody would be laughing and joking and jumping around when the sun was out. And I'd be so miserable and sad and lonely. And I was like, what is this? And I'm talking about in adult years now, well past this domestic abuse, domestic violence occurrence. And I couldn't figure this out. But I had learned to enjoy it. And I would even brag about it. I'd be like, oh, I hate the sun. I love when it's raining. I love when it's cloudy. I was like basking in that, not realizing how dysfunctional this was. It was just a part of who I was, and I had just learned to live with it. And when I got the assignment, that's when God gave me what I was actually going through. And what was happening, what had happened was, I should say, when I was in that season of going through that abuse, I was watching everyone else happy. And because I wasn't telling anybody, I was shielding it and holding it. I was living in misery. And while everybody else was happy and dancing around in the sun, I was living on the opposite side. And I hated it. And I couldn't understand why everybody else could laugh, why everybody else could have a good time, but I couldn't. Not thinking at the time that I was ultimately in control of that. Open up your mouth. Get out. But, you know, long story, when you're in it, you're in it. And only when something happens for you that tells you to leave and get up out of there, you don't know how long you'll stay in there. And when I stood up to give, you know, my I don't even know what's my dissertation or whatever, on Out of Darkness Into His Marvelous Light, I actually walked into it. The world changed all around me. The sun looked different. The world was different. And I had never seen it like I saw it at that time. And I had lived that way since I was about 17 years old. And here I was, like, 30-something. Easily over 35, because I had already been baptized. I got baptized when I was 35. So you're talking about over 20 years of living like this. And I give God thanks because he has the answer for you. You just got to be prepared to walk in it. And when he gives it to you, you got to be ready to just seize it, take it, walk in it, thrive in it, bask in it. Because God will always bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light as long as you give your life to him. And this is why my petition every day is to just give your life to God. Because you don't know what tomorrow, later, 5 minutes from now, what it holds. But you got to make sure you choose Jesus and you decide to walk in the fact that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I forgot that that's who I was. That once I gave my life to God, that's who God considered me to be. So I want you to keep that in mind and take everything that was said today with you into this weekend and let it change your life. That's who you are. And that's how we're going to end today. I'm down below my 60 seconds, so I'm going to say thank you to my due time crew for helping me hold it down. Thanks to you for hanging out with me all this week. And we just had a good old time. I know you had a good time because I know I had a good time. I give God thanks for you. Couldn't do it without you. Choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now and walk in a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I love you.